You may be seated. Our next case is 13-596, State of Ohio Ex Rel Plunderbund Media LLC versus Thomas P. Charles, Director of Ohio Department of Public Safety. Sitting in for Justice Kennedy is Judge Michael Powell from the 12th District. Welcome, Judge Powell. We will start with counsel. This is Mrs. Ullman.
Yes. May it please the court, I am Victoria Ullman, here representing Plunderbund Media. I would like to reserve 5 minutes for rebuttal. Whenever we began our quest, it's turned out to be a quest, to receive the documents that are an issue here, we expected that this would be a very easy request, that there would be no issues about it, because virtually everything we were requesting has been stuff that this court has long ruled on.
What specifically were the documents that are an issue?
We were asking for investigation files with regard to any threats made against Governor Kasich, because those were referred to in the media that they existed. And whenever it became more difficult to get those, we began requesting specific pieces of it in an effort to resolve the matter short of litigation.
Like what specific pieces?
The initial incident reports, the cover sheets that the Highway Patrol uses on the files. Those are the two main things we tried to get just out of the files to avoid anything that could be considered investigatory project or anything that would be a problem.
Ms. Ullman, as I read the record, you have since amended that request, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought the only thing you are seeking are closed files. Am I right or wrong about that?
That was his initial request.
Whose initial request?
My client's initial request. And then we asked.
Do you want something more than closed files as you stand here today?
No. We were willing to negotiate to just get the incident reports out of the closed files.
Okay. So what is it, in answer to Justice Pfeiffer's question, that you want today?
We would like any materials out of closed files and that are otherwise appropriate based on this court's decision of closed files with regard to the threats against the governor.
Security threats made against Governor Kasich.
Threats made against Governor Kasich. We don't know if they're security threats or not. We don't know, that's the problem. We don't know what they're doing at all here. A lot of stuff, for all we know, they could be including threats that don't involve threats of violence at all. We don't know what they're opening. We don't know what they're doing. They won't redact stuff. They won't give us anything. So I'm not assuming in this that they're just including threats of violence.
Are you assuming that those records are public records, or what is the basis of your request for closed security threats that have been made against Governor Kasich?
That they are investigatory files of a law enforcement agency that would include incident reports that will be generated out of the agencies, including the governor's office.
Okay, I may have misled you in my question. Do you think that these are public records and therefore you're entitled to them?
Yes.
That's your argument?
Yes.
And if we determine they're not public records, then you're not entitled to them, correct?
Well, that's how it works, yes.
Okay.
That's my understanding of how it works.
So the security record is an exemption under 149.433. Would you agree with that?
I agree that section exempts certain records.
Security records means any of the following, and then it goes through the litany of the contents of a security record, and those are exempt, correct?
They're exempt with regard to computers and infrastructure.
Well, they're exempt with respect to records that contain information directly used for protecting or maintaining the security of a public office against attack, interference, or sabotage.
Yes, it's the Infrastructure Security Act. They're talking about a physical location.
You think the word office means the building?
Yes.
And the structure. You don't think it means the office held by an individual?
No.
Such as the office of Chief Justice of the
No.
Ohio Supreme Court?
No. Even though you would say office of the Chief Justice or office of a Justice of the Supreme Court, when you're referred to in a situation like this, and as 149 defines it, as a public official. And I don't think that's splitting hairs, because this is infrastructure security. It comes from the critical infrastructure
security.
You don't
read that to mean the office of governor of the state of Ohio?
No.
What if we do? If we read it as office of governor of the state of Ohio, you lose, correct?
Yes.
All right.
Counsel, could you go back to that definition you just talked about? You said that the statute defined, was it office?
Yes.
The word office is defined for purposes of the public records law?
Official is defined.
Official.
Official is defined. And that whenever you're talking about a person, I don't know of a single place in the revised code that a person is called an office. That's a building. And this is the Critical Infrastructure Security Act.
So the word official is defined, the word office is not defined for purposes of 149, correct?
You know, I thought it was, but now I'm thinking of it, I don't know. There's no reason why that would be defined in 149. But official is definite. A public official is the term that's used throughout the revised code when speaking of a person.
And you would have us look at the two differently and say that
yes.
Official is not the same as office.
Yes.
Does a city council person, a township trustee, a member of the legislature, or the governor hold public office?
They hold public office, and if that was what they're getting at here, it would say holder of a public office, not office. And it's infrastructure. That's where it came from. Congress recommended, and the White House has recommended, that this be adopted based upon the section of the Patriot Act that is called the Infrastructure Security Act.
But, Council, isn't there a separate provision that speaks to infrastructure records? And wouldn't that suggest that the other security records are not infrastructure records? That would be 149.43A2 that speaks to infrastructure.
I think that the way that this court, and even in 2001, it was trending how this court would look at this, is that whenever a section is written and it's an exemption that you will interpret narrowly, that section, even though it is separate as A, would be still circumscribed by the rest of the thing. There has never been a determination that I'm aware of by this court that allows the expansive reading of Section A that they are talking about here.
But, Counsel, a public office is much more inclusive than the public official, even. It is as a measure to protect, you know, the first part, any record that directly for protecting or maintaining the security of a public office against attack, interference, or sabotage. And if you're talking about attacking a public office, you're talking about attacking the office holder and all of the employees within that public office. So the security is for the protection of all individuals within the office of that public official.
Except that's, and under other sections that you've determined, like the special investigatory records, I think that would cover any secret stuff about security concerns. You've already dealt with that. If they're doing investigations of security concerns, any of the work product is already covered under that. So, and in 2001, maybe all those cases hadn't come out. But that deals with that. This deals with the physical structure. Since it came out of the Patriot Act, the physical structure of the buildings and the fact that the terrorists were able to target buildings based on the blueprints of the World Trade Center. This is focused on infrastructure. That's why this exists, in my opinion.
But our General Assembly wouldn't have been bound by that interpretation. They might have started with the Patriot Act, but we have to look at the state provisions, not the federal provisions. Would you agree?
Yes, but I think that the overarching concept of infrastructure and computers still should be your guide, because that's what didn't already exist, and that is what needed to be added. Part of the Patriot Act was providing this huge network where people would communicate. That's one of the basic reasons this was passed, is to allow exchange of encryption codes, proprietary software, and that sort of stuff, that people couldn't steal trade secrets. But, you know, they phrased it in another way. But the kind of things that they're concerned about, that they're talking about, investigatory work product, that's covered by something else. And this is something different. So what we expected them to do is go through the files based on the existing determinations by this court that cover everything we've asked for. The creation of a new document. We are not asking at all for security protocols. We don't want that. We're not interested in that. You know, like how they lay out how to protect you or the governor or whatever, we don't want that. We're not interested in that. We don't think that
Counsel,
we should have that.
Is it my understanding that in the response, they are also saying that the public record is the threat itself that is not authored by the office or the security people? Have you had access to any documents?
No. So we have no idea what they're holding. We haven't even been able to get like a document with totally blacked out to see if anything exists. We don't know if there are any threats. They won't even tell us if there are any threats.
Counsel, is there any difference between you say you want closed records?
Yes.
You don't want active open files information.
We were trying to negotiate this. His initial request was for closed files because...
Okay, does the statute make any distinction between closed files and open files?
It seems to me there's a case that makes a difference between those two because...
Well, could you point to that? Because I don't see anything in the statute that says that these security records have anything to do with their status of opened or closed.
Oh, based on that, we don't think that section applies at all. So open or closed, they brought this up after we asked the staff. I don't think that has anything to do with this. So I don't think, if your question is based on the fact that those would cover closed files too, I don't think that it has anything to do with what we're asking for, so it wouldn't apply to.
All right, you said that there's a case that you're going to cite support that you can have a closed security file against an official.
No, a closed police investigatory file, which is what these are.
Okay. Counsel, looking at the statute, and I know you were talking about the infrastructure record, and that's how you're reviewing this, but B says a record kept by a public office that is a security record or an infrastructure record is not a public record. So it seems to me that you may be right about infrastructure records, but there's also the security record that is within this purview. We're talking about something broader than the limited exemption you're talking about.
Your definition, by your interpretation, if you don't look at the rest of the statute as the definition of what security record is, then this is a public document section with no definition of what a security record is. And this section has extensive definitions of what this constitutes.
Well, this is within the definition of security record and under 149.433, correct?
Yes, I don't think that's adequate to constitute a working definition of what a security record is. Because there's the investigation files that are criminal files that you've already dealt with, and then there's security records about whenever people sit down and say, what cameras are we going to need in this building? What, how can we avoid access to the basement in the State House to keep people from just wandering in and planting a bomb? That's, in our opinion, is security stuff. We're not asking for that.
But, Council, from a practical perspective, if someone makes a threat on the governor, isn't that person, for all practical purposes, making a threat on the physical office or on the physical structure of his residence? How can you separate the two?
We don't know how because we can't see the stuff. But we don't know what these things say to know that.
So if we were to do an in-camera inspection, would you agree then that we could, if the threat is being made such that it could be a threat at the physical structure in some way, that is a security record?
It would depend on the circumstance. What they're trying to get to in the infrastructure is, like, you can still see blueprints. They specifically talk about...
Well, I understand. I think my question is just more of a practical one.
I
mean, at what point would the governor not be part of the structure? I guess he would have to be traveling and not part of his residence and not part of his office and not part of any other structure?
Now, I worked at the state. It was a long time ago. I know you worked at the state and you worked at the state. My experience, I was lower down in the totem pole than any of you, that when these complaints come in, this sort of threat and stuff, they're not some elaborate stuff. Somebody calls up and says, I really have to get rid of you and I'm going to do that.
But that's all speculation.
Right, because we can't get the documents.
But I'm having a hard time conceiving of how it could occur without there being some kind of a threat on a physical structure, including the governor as a person.
Well, I don't think it includes the governor as a person. We're talking about, like, bombings that are actually something that...
So your request is then we just want all records of threats that are closed regarding bombings.
No. The bombing is a circumstance that... under certain circumstances, you might be able to withhold. I don't think we're talking about any bombings here.
So you don't want anything that has anything to do with a bomb being used or some sort of a destruction of a physical structure. You want just the reports that have to do with eliminating the governor.
It would depend on how they were written. But if they're saying, let's say, we're going to plant a bomb on this bridge. I mean, we didn't even ask for that. If it says, without even ever seeing what they're talking about and what they're hiding from us, my only frame of reference is the threats that we got when I was working for the state. Another possible scenario would be large numbers of people coming to the State House. And how they handled that. That's not a threat to the physical building.
What did you say about large numbers of people coming to the State House?
An example that might be conceived of as a threat by someone would be a large convergence of angry people coming to the State House. That doesn't have anything physical to do with anything. But again, I'm having trouble figuring out even what they're hiding. They won't tell us.
Are you asking for the security protocol on the protection of how the Highway Patrol, for example, or how the governor's staff insulate or secure his safety?
No.
Well, when you say large numbers of angry people coming to the State House, it sort of implies that you want to know what the security protocol might be to deal with that situation so as to protect the governor.
No, I was trying to think of a thing in response to the Chief Justice's question, what would not be a bomb or something that would damage the building that would be a security issue. And that was the only example I could think of at the moment.
Okay.
All right, thank you. Mr. Cole?
Chief Justice O'Connor, and may it please the court, protecting and maintaining the security of our public offices is essential to ensure that our government functions properly. The General Assembly recognized this by exempting security records from public disclosure. The evidence submitted in this case by those who provide and oversee security for our state offices and elected officials shows that publicly disclosing the records demanded by Plunderbund will increase the risks to the safety and security of our public officials.
Counselor, let me make sure I understand what they're asking for. It seems to me, if I understand the argument in the record, nothing has been provided as a result of the request, correct?
Yes.
Can you tell me how, if somebody makes a threat against an office or an officer, that becomes a public record that cannot be disclosed, the threat itself? Isn't that what they're really asking for? They want to know who threatened the governor.
Well, their request, Justice O'Neill, was for the department's investigation records of threats made against Governor Kasich since he took office. So they're asking for specific records. They would be held by the department, document the functions of the department. So
by virtue of your response, then, are they entitled to the threat themselves? Not your investigation, not the security records, not what the patrol did, the threat itself. Are they entitled to that as a matter of a public record?
No. Under 149.433B, any record that contains information directly used for protecting the security of the public office is not a public record. The entire record is out. So it's different than the exemptions you find in 149.43A1, that it's those 28 exceptions, and then you have the rules for redacting information.
And I do understand records that are kept to protect the officials. I understand that. There's a good policy argument there. I'm having trouble understanding where the threat itself is not a public record.
Well, the department...
Somebody signs a letter, says, I'm going to do something awful to the governor, secretary of state, or, God forbid, an associate justice.
Yes, correct. Well, to the extent that, as the affidavits of our experts, of the director of public safety, the director of homeland security, have attested to, all threat information is used by the department in protecting the safety and security of the office. That's all that's required to trigger the security record statute. It's not
would
that the
it
record
make any
has
difference
to be
used. If a file of a threat had been closed and is no longer being used for the protection of the security of the office?
No, it makes no difference.
Why would that be?
Well, first of all, there's nothing in the statute that exempts closed records, unlike the confidential law enforcement investigation records. This is a different statute. Secondly, the information that's within the records being sought by Plunderbund is used. It contains the information used to protect the office. And that's what, regardless of whether it's open or closed.
Whether the file is open or closed, the information in the file is still being used for protection of the office.
It is, although the statute has no temporal language. It says directly used. So that should be whether in the past, present, or future. There's no requirement within the statute that the file has to be open. And in fact, this public records request was made in August of 2012. So I can't comment on whether any files are open, but it's really irrelevant because of the way those records are defined by the statute.
So Chief Justice pointed out that the security record means any record that contains information directly used for protecting or maintaining the security of a public office against attack, interference, or sabotage.
That's the definition.
Now, is there an affidavit in our record that says that the matters that you have, the records that you have, contain that information?
Yes.
Which affidavit could I look at to see that information has been provided. Someone has looked at it and said, by way of affidavit, the records that we have meet this definition.
Well, first, the request itself sets the scope of the responsive documents.
Well, as I understand it now, we're only talking about closed records, if I understood Ms. Ullman. So that's all she's looking for.
Well, they didn't say that specifically in the request. That wasn't before the department. There was a subsequent clarification she made in the course of her representation. But initially, they wanted all investigations of threats against the governor, and that was denied under the security record statute. But to try to answer your question, let me say the scope of the records that are being sought here, and they haven't been produced, are set forth by the parameters of the request. Plunderbund asked for threat records, investigations of threats. The affidavits of the state's officers here, all career individuals, highly trained and experienced in security and combating terrorism, career law enforcement.
All I want to know is, do any of the affidavits specify that the information requested is a record that contains information used to protect or secure the office? Does anyone say that in their affidavit?
Paragraph 7 of Public Safety Director Bourne's affidavit indicates that the Highway Patrol invests all threats against the governor and state facilities. Highway Patrol Superintendent Pride's affidavit at paragraph 7 notes that the Executive Protection Unit of the Highway Patrol handles any threats intended to harm, interfere, influence, or intimidate the office of the governor. Lieutenant Kellum, who is actually involved.
That's what they do. But did any of them say that the records being sought contain this information?
They do by the nature of the request. If there are records the department is withholding that don't contain threat information, they wouldn't be responsive to Plunderbund's request. So I don't think those records would be at issue.
Counsel, can I ask it maybe a different way? Are you saying that the statute is written so that the public is not entitled to know the fact of a threat being made? Would you go that far? Because it seems to me that you're going that far, and you're saying the public is not even entitled to know that a threat was made.
As long as the record that includes that information contains that information, then 149.433 exempts that from public record disclosure. Now, it doesn't make it illegal to turn it over, but it alleviates any obligation of the public office to turn that over. So there's no legal right, certainly no clear legal right in mandamus to those records based on the definition of security record.
Well, Counsel, it strikes me that this case may be about very little at all, but it's become, you know, media hype, and the state has contributed to that. We can't tell you anything about anything, which allows everybody to speculate that there's just threat after threat that we have to protect and worry about, which in itself creates a lot of jobs. So, you know, how does the legislature even figure out how much security is necessary for public officials if the approach is we can't tell you anything about anything, but we've got all of these things going on? Maybe there isn't much. Everybody's left in the dark, so the conspiracy theorists run away with it all. And let me go to a specific example. When Governor Strickland was in office, there was a whole lot of media hubbub about some trustees from the prison system perhaps planning to do drug exchanges or drug dealing at the governor's mansion. Would that be something that's protected from all disclosure and knowledge as well?
If that, well, to
that's a structure. I think Strickland actually lived there, didn't he?
He did. Yes. So, as far as I know.
So.
Well, if the sale of drugs at the governor's
somehow got out.
I mean, well, no. If that's information that affects the or relates to the security of the office against attack, terrorism, sabotage, or interference. Interference is probably the broadest term there in the security.
Well, it would seem it would fit all of those. So hush to everything.
No, Your Honor, and I don't believe the department has contributed. I mean, the media will do what the media will do. That's fine. But the department, I mean, this isn't just ad hoc reasoning. The affiants here, the Highway Patrol affiants, are highly knowledgeable. They work with the FBI. They work with the Secret Service on why threat information should not be released. And while a single document may itself look rather innocuous, terrorists and bad people who would seek to harm or intimidate the office can piece information together.
You keep throwing this word terrorists around, which scares everybody. And you know, maybe I'm just an old-fashioned skeptic, but I really don't believe Ohio's overrun by terrorists.
Well, Your Honor, first of all, terrorists take many forms. I'm not just talking about Al-Qaeda. And there are domestic terrorists. There are individuals with agendas and groups with agendas. The fact that you haven't heard about it probably means the Highway Patrol is doing their job well, and it may also be that records like this aren't always to be disclosed publicly.
Well, it might also mean there isn't much of it going on.
Well, I don't know of public instances where an attack has gone beyond the threat stage, where it's gone to a substantial step or an attempt. That should not weigh against the protections of the statute. The statute is protective. It's preventative. It's to prevent these things from happening. And the fact that no one has made an attempt on the governor's life, which at least publicly, and I hope that's the case, or any public official, judge, director, is not a means to all of a sudden read this super strictly and to second guess the very significant, compelling public interest in protecting our offices.
Why not allow an in-camera inspection?
It's because it's not necessary to decide this case.
Why not let us decide that?
Well,
it's not necessary.
You have the power to do that, but based on the facts and the uncontroverted evidence, you don't need to. The responsive documents are set forth by Plunderbund's request. The evidence submitted in this case, the entire evidence only shows that the threat information in those records is used to protect and maintain the security of the office.
If we can focus on the words that you just used, which come out of the definitional statute, and that it gets to my question of redaction. You're taking the position that even if we say, okay, we have a record, and there's some information here that really doesn't relate to a threat, that information, we can't redact everything that should be protected. The record has to stand as a whole. Is that right? I haven't said that very artfully.
I'm not saying that's what the General Assembly says in 149.433B.
Why does that make sense? In every other public record situation, what we do is we say, if there's a part of it that's responsive to the request and it should be made public, then you should redact what you need to protect and you need to give the public access to everything else. Why shouldn't that apply in this case?
I can't speak for what the General Assembly was thinking when they enacted the statute. I can speak to the evidence, which shows that Seemingly innocuous information, minor details, and threat records can be pieced together over time by those who are patient, who look at not only the information in these records, but other information to plan, to develop countermeasures. All of these are set forth in the affidavits. Director Barron, Homeland Security Director, points out that publicly disclosing, and if you give it to Plunderbund, it's in the public domain, particularly with a media blog like that. It's accessible to millions, including the bad guys, including the terrorists. And I'm not an expert in security. I don't know how they do that. But the experts who have dealt with this for years and years.
Well, you know, you just said again, including the terrorists, which raises that you're here representing the state, raises the implication there are terrorists sitting out there at their computers just waiting for this information so that they can.
No, Justice Byford, because you can't afford to make one mistake. One time is enough. One attack that goes forward, whether it's a terrorist or somebody local or an organization, that the state, the department has to be vigilant to protect our public offices.
Okay, so what incident of terrorism has happened in Ohio?
Fortunately, none that I know of, and that's good. That's my client's doing its job.
Why don't we take that word out of our discussion here and talk about, we have all over the country any number of folks who have serious mental health issues. Those kinds of things that have seemed to have no problem getting a hold of firearms. Those are the kind of things that might be a real threat to any public official or anybody that goes to the grocery store, for that matter.
That's fine. We'll take terrorism out under subsection A. That's written broadly enough to protect the office against any attack, interference, or sabotage, whether by a terrorist or not.
Could we get to the section that you say in that statute says that if it's a portion of the record, the whole record is in? You referred to that several times. I can't find that in the statute.
It's 149.433B. If a record held by a public office is a security record, then it is not a public record and is not subject to the disclosure requirements.
But where does it say that a security record can't be looked at in camera and portions of it separated out? B doesn't say that.
It says the record. It doesn't say the portion. It says the 149.433 completely removes security records from the ambit of the public record statute. Justice Lanziger.
A does. A removes it.
Pardon?
A removes any record that contains information, but B doesn't say that.
No. 149.433B says that if you have a security record, if the record in question meets the definition, it contains information, then the record is not a security record, and the record is not subject to 149.43, section 149.43. If, Justice Lanziger, the General Assembly had only defined security records in 149.433 and then did a cross-reference in 149.43, then I think there would be a stronger argument for redaction. But here there's a separate section within 149.433.
It also includes infrastructure records, so you're saying the same thing there. Portion of it that would fall within your view of being either a security or infrastructure record, then the whole thing is protected.
The
public sees nothing.
There is no requirement to disclose. That's what the unambiguous language of the statute is. It's not my interpretation. That's right or wrong. That's what the General Assembly provided.
It doesn't say anything about no in-camera inspection.
Well, it doesn't say anything specifically about that. The one other thing, if I might, why in-camera.
Counsel, before you go on to your one other thing, I'm on the same track. If you were to follow Justice French and there were to be an in-camera inspection, what is your position? Would that be foreclosed or all records? What's before us today? Is it only closed records, or is it all records?
Well, what's before you today, since it's a public record case, is only those that existed at the time the request was made, which I'm not going to tell you the number. It's a finite set of records. So I'm not asking you to enunciate a rule of law beyond this mandamus case. It is these records as set forth in the request contain threat information and threat. I mean, yeah, one can think broadly.
Are you suggesting some of those are still open today?
I'm not suggesting that. I'm not at liberty to say what their status is because of the nature of them.
But
I'm not saying that.
Counsel, it doesn't matter whether they're open or
closed.
It doesn't matter. I mean, this is a specific statute effective 2002 and then amended in 2006. And the legislature knew what they were doing when it came to excluding these security records. There's no application of in-camera inspection or redaction. It just says these are records that are unique and not subject to the other treatment of public records.
That is correct, Chief Justice O'Connor.
And the statement that you have in your brief says that the records sought by Plunderbund contain information used for protecting or maintaining the security of the Office of Governor.
That's the end of it.
But I want to know what evidence there is other than what's in your brief of that.
Well,
which affidavit says that?
All Director Bourne at paragraph 7, Superintendent Pride at paragraph 7, Homeland Security Director Barron.
And they use that language.
They talk about, they testify as to what the Highway Patrol does.
I don't
want to
talk about how they use the information. I want to know that they say that the information sought is used to protect.
It is necessarily used as part of the Highway Patrol's function to protect public offices.
Okay, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
For these reasons, we ask you to deny the writ of mandamus. Thank you.
Solomon, you've used your time. You may take 30 seconds.
This is ad hoc reasoning. There's no policy by public.
Counsel, would you speak into the microphone?
I'm sorry. This is entirely ad hoc. There is no policy put forth by public safety explaining this prior to this. And terrorism, anything we're talking about, is a crime, and that piece is a crime investigation.
Thank you. We'll take the matter under advisement. Thank you very much, and you'll be notified of our decision.